is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is Live Bet Sunday right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We've got a tremendous hour coming up for you as we're going to be joined by a great man on the college baseball front in about 45 minutes, Colin Wilson. He does tremendous work over at Action Network. We have to ask him what I've been talking about here all day long. Should we just be taking a look at all the overs with regards to these college baseball games? Because I just keep looking at every single one of these bullpens, and every single one of them is about as untrustworthy as it gets. Like, a lead in college baseball of 3 runs or less is about as safe as a $20 bill that you dropped on the side of the road and have no idea that you left it there. So, yeah, that's been something to be able to gauge, but we also have to talk about some of these top teams and what was very stunning, Vanderbilt losing in the regional that they had to Wright State earlier in the day and some of the shakeups that causes as well, because I know that those SEC powers, I mean, they are very much ones that they run college baseball. I'm someone that in the early part of my career, I actually covered a lot of Vanderbilt athletics, and seeing them go down in the way that they did, that was not something that I foresaw, to say the least. So we're going to be addressing that. We do have to continue to address what we've got here on Sunday Night Baseball as Ryan Yarbrough is continuing to deal for the New York Yankees. 6-1, the Yankees are in the lead. This is a game that is currently in the bottom of the fifth inning, as for the LA Dodgers, just have not been able to get a lot going on offense. Tommy Edman, he was able to give you a home run earlier in this game, but that's been it. Right now, this live total is at an 11.5, shaded up to the under, as it's a minus 140 if you're looking at the under. And for the Yankees, right now, to lay 4.5 runs with them is a minus 154. Again, I think that the Dodgers are going to be able to score a run or two here, especially if they get into that bullpen. But Ryan Yarbrough, right now looking very trustworthy, entered in this night for the New York Yankees with a sub-2.25 ERA, went specifically as a starter. He actually struggled in the bullpen. As a starter, he's been very good, and so far so good out there. And something else I do want to keep you guys abreast on is what we're seeing in the WNBA. Had a 50-point first quarter between the Minnesota Lynx and the Golden State Valkyrie, and right now, that is a live total of a 168.5. That closing total was more in the neighborhood of the high 150s, low 160 or so. Closed right around about 158. So we've seen this tick up, and Nafisa Collier was a game-time decision. Boy, are the Minnesota Lynx glad that she played in this game, because she had 10 points in the first quarter. So she's been able to make a very big impact here. And for the Lynx, right now 6-0. They and the Liberty have really been running the WNBA this far this season. It's currently 32-26, about 7 minutes and change remaining in the second quarter there. So we're going to be keeping up with that. Something else that we need to keep up with, and this is something that is very, very important. Give the credit to everyone that makes VSiN what it is. All the great folks behind the scenes, because they are what allows you to be able to have all the great shows and all the great content that you hear here at the network. You've got my producer, Hunton. And now we have to give a little bit of a shout out to Hunton here, because he has done such a tremendous job. He's been with me on the Cashing Out show that I do every Saturday. He was a part of the NCAA tournament coverage that we did here. A lot of the stuff that went on behind the scenes to be able to make that so good. And I remember I had my nice call of all 4-1 seeds in the Final Four. He was able to help out on that front as well. This is actually going to be his last show for us, so we appreciate you, Hunton. Just everyone behind the scenes, they make it what it is, and without Hunton, you wouldn't be seeing and hearing as such great content as you do. So want to give a special shout out to him. He's done an absolutely magnificent job, and I know that he is going to be crushing it at all the stops that he is going to be at. So credit to him, and credit to all that he's been able to do for us. And then you've got on-site Johnny. He does such a tremendous job of being able to set me up for success, making sure that everything is all in line. And especially when you've got, let's call it what it is, a little bit of a smaller slate here on Sunday night. Sports calendar is starting to wrap up, and we're starting to get into the dog days of summer, so you need a little bit of help there. And Johnny, he does such a tremendous job on that front. And then this is probably the most challenging job here at VSiN, making me look halfway presentable in a moving picture / TV format. Jaren's and Alexis, they do such a tremendous job on that front, and it's a big reason why all those numbers that you see up on the screen, all the odds, they're all up to date, they're all crisp and clean. So big thanks to them behind the scenes. And for the audio version of things, if you're listening on SiriusXM channel 158, might be also listening after the fact as well, as every single show here at VSiN, it's available in podcast form, whether you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, list goes on and on. You're able to catch everything after the fact. Chris, make sure that everything is all good on the ones and twos. So big thanks to everyone behind the scenes. They truly do make VSiN what it is and make these tremendous shows what they are. So now I need to go to work and I need to try to find you guys some winners. And right now we're still in the bottom of the fifth inning with the Yankees versus Dodgers. And Dodgers starting to threaten. You've got men on first and second. And this is a live total that's starting to creep up a little bit more, as right now you've got that live total now in some places as high as a 12.5 with regards to the scoring threat back down to 11.5, it appears as though. But that said, right now you've got that live under at more like a minus 120 as opposed to a minus 140. And we've got a little bit of a mound visit, so we'll see what happens on that front. While we've got that mound visit, how about if we start taking a look at some of these games that we've got on Monday? Because you'll notice with regards to a lot of my write-ups I do for the VSiN website, typically you're going to find them up at the evening time, typically like an hour or two from now. I actually wrote mine up a little bit earlier because I knew that I was going to be doing this show here tonight. But that said, I always want to make sure that I get those up early because you're able to find a lot of value with regards to these openers. And I've got an opener that I've got a lot of value on. Now, mentioned the one that really stood out to me in the last hour, and I'll bring it up once again. We're going to be brief about this one, but the Miami Marlins are less than a minus $2 favorite. The Colorado Rockies are 3-28 on the road this season. Again, if you're looking at the Colorado Rockies on the road with a 3-28 record, in order to be breaking even on their money line prices, you'd need to be getting plus 933.3, and right now they're about a plus 165. The math is not mathing here. There is no value to be had on the Colorado Rockies moving forward, especially with north of 70 ERA, Yermán Márquez, who should have been traded 5 years ago, but the Colorado Rockies have absolutely no freaking idea what they're doing, so they decided to leave him in there, and that's what you right now are getting with the Colorado Rockies. So if there's one thing that I'm not encouraging, it's taking the Colorado Rockies money line on Monday. Now, you can do what you want with this game, what have you. You're not getting bang for your buck. That I can assure you. But you are getting bang for your buck with ProfitX. ProfitX, they're making sure that everything is great with regards to the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Finals. They are approaching, and they're making sure that you're getting the best odds all playoffs long. ProfitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states. It's the first of its kind in the United States, and you're going to be able to make your sports picks against other fans rather than against the sports books that gives you the best odds by an average of about 10 to 20%. You're even able to request your own odds. Download ProfitX today with the promo code of VSIN, V-S-I-N, and you'll earn 200 in profit cash over your first month, as it is live at Sunday right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Now let's take a look at another game that I do think has a little bit of value again. Plus 165 with the Colorado Rockies. What are they trying to do to us here? But that said, we do have ourselves a fun one between the Milwaukee Brewers and the Cincinnati Reds, and we always have to give our ode to Bill Belichick. We are on to Cincinnati, and Reds are between about minus 118 to minus 122 favorites, with the Brewers a modest plus number of plus 102 to a plus 106. Right now, a lot of places have a total of 9. I'm seeing one or two straight 9.5s, but right now seeing a lot of 9s, and Aaron Civale just has given you no reason to back the Milwaukee Brewers. I'm someone that I grew up in the great state of Wisconsin, and I know quite a bit about this Milwaukee Brewers team. And for Aaron Civale, he's gone out there and he's made 3 starts this far this season. He's won a grand total of 12 innings. He's right now rocking a 6 ERA, and he's given up 4 home runs in these 12 innings. Again, it's something that I was talking about in the last hour. When these guys come off the injury list, typically they're not themselves. Aaron Civale clearly is not himself, and you can't bet on him, in my opinion, until he starts to show you just a little bit of a pulse that he's going to be himself, especially with the Milwaukee Brewers, currently number 23 in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. And it's been a sunny fall from grace for this Milwaukee Brewers bullpen, because last year they were number one in the National League. Like last year, Yoel Piamps, Elvis Piguero were rock solid for them. Both of those guys have fallen off the face of planet Earth. As a matter of fact, I think that Piamps actually got DFA'd. So that's how bad it's been for those guys. You've had Jared Koenig not be himself. Nick Mears got off to a relatively solid start in the bullpen. He's starting to regress. The one guy that's been very good has been Abner Uribe. You're able to utilize him in a wide variety of ways. Sub 225 ERA there. But for the Reds, not like this bullpen has been lighting the world on fire themselves. They're about 19th in terms of bullpen ERA. Graham Ashcraft, well, been a load of Ashcraft recently for this team. It's been not great, but you've had Tony Santin be able to mix and match for this team. Taylor Rogers has been able to give you a few solid innings. And for the Reds, I do think that Brady Singer gives you a relatively good start here. He's got an ERA of a 4.60. Fielding dependence a little bit lower than that. Swing and miss stuff has been down. 7.5 strikeouts to 3.5 walks per 9 innings. But I do like this total as long as you're able to get the 9 as well. When you get to a 9.5, it starts to become a little bit of a point of no return. But out there at Great American Ballpark, I do think that with the weather heating up, the ball is going to start to be flying out. If you look at ballpark factors across Major League Baseball, this ballpark year in and year out is typically in the top five in terms of being able to elevate offense. Elly De La Cruz is starting to come into his own. He was able to have a home run here on Sunday. He's up to 12 this campaign. Now, if you look at the Cincinnati Reds and their overall home and road splits, you're going to notice that they've actually been a pretty good road offensive team. This is a little bit of a, shall we say, outlier, because they had that 24 spot that they put up against the Baltimore Orioles about like a month or so ago when Charlie Morton was really, really struggling. So I wouldn't make too much out of that. But you've got a pair of guys that are able to do a nice job getting on base. Gavin Lux, TJ Friedl, both have been able to give you about a 380 or so in terms of their on base. You've had Matt McClain be able to give you a few home runs, but setting below the middle sign of a 200. Austin Hayes going back on the injury list has been hurting the seam. And for the Milwaukee Brewers, they've actually been a really good road hitting team. They're averaging 5.1 runs per contest. That is a top four mark in all of baseball. You've had Christian Yelich start to round into a little bit of form with regards to power. He's never going to be peak MVP form of Christian Yelich, but he's up to 12 bombs this year. He's been able to give you about a 320 on base. You've had Jackson Chourio be able to give you 9 home runs, but again, you would like to see the on base percentage be better than a 285. He just doesn't draw any walks whatsoever, but William Contreras, Rhys Hoskins, these two guys give you north of a 360 on base. And it's a Brewers team that you've got a quartet of guys in Chourio, Yelich, Bryce Terang, throwing their Sal Frelick, they've all been able to give you at least 10 stolen bases as well. So, interesting spot here. I'm going to be looking at that 9 over, and with Brady Singer and the Cincinnati Reds, did set them at a minus 143 on the money line, so going to be diving in there. We're in the top of the 6th inning with regards to Yankees versus Dodgers. Yankees currently up by a count of 6-1, and for the Dodgers, they're right now going through all their bullpen pieces, and I think that this NL West race is going to be very interesting. You've got a lot of intrigue out there, so we'll talk about that a little bit more on the flip side right here on Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Sunday right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson holding it down tonight as I'm going to be talking about the NL West here in a second, especially with the being the Dodgers and the Yankees currently doing battle on Sunday Night Baseball. 6-1, the Yankees in the lead with a man on first, and looks like Noah Davis is currently in the game, and he just threw a wild pitch. So not going so great for the LA Dodgers as Yoshinobu Yamamoto was only able to go 3 2/3 innings, and now you're seeing the less than trustworthy relievers of the LA Dodgers currently into the game. I have to share this with you as well. I've been doing my best to share with you just how bad the stink is with this Colorado Rockies team. I think that we have found the best one yet. This is tweeted out by our good friend Tom Fornelli. He does a great job covering all things sports. Win since May 2nd. Scotty Scheffler, 3 wins in 4 tournaments. The Colorado Rockies, 3 wins in 28 games played. That tells you all that you need to know about this fade, and the Colorado Rockies are getting about a plus 155 to a plus 165 on the money line on Monday. Again, you bet this game how you want. You have no value here on the Colorado Rockies. None at all. You would need to be getting plus 933 on their money lines in road games this year. They're 3-28 on the road, not to break a profit, just to break even. That tells you all that you need to know right there, but in terms of the NL West, well, the Colorado Rockies are not going to be winning that division. They currently have 50 losses. It is currently June 1st. So we are able to sign and seal that one away. But in terms of the NL West, I think that it is really interesting because you still have the Dodgers as a massive favorite, and they should be the favorite. The Dodgers, they are the defending champions, and we're going to use a Ric Flair mentality. In order to be the man, you got to beat the man. And right now, the LA Dodgers, they are still the man. And I know that there have been a lot of people have been a little bit off put by their start to the season, but we have seen the Dodgers before have a rough first 2 months of the season. Then they still get their ho-hum north of 100 wins. They still have that good regular season, what have you. But, I mean, if I'm taking a look at this division and in terms of the odds, we saw the San Francisco Giants in 2021, albeit it was with Gabe Kapler, albeit it was with a little bit of a different core in general, but I mean, right now, you're able to get them at really good plus odds. If you're looking to just throw a dart right now in terms of futures board, and I'm very much more a game-to-game better in baseball. I'm not going to sit here and say I've got some expansive futures portfolio or anything like that, because I do think that the best value that you have in baseball is just being able to grind through day in and day out, take a look at things, and try to be able to find your edges on individual games. And yes, betting against the Colorado Rockies at every single turn possible. Like, here's another one that I'll give you. With the Colorado Rockies, in terms of their 59 games that they have played thus far this season, 39 of those games have been multi-run losses. So if you've been taking -1.5 on the run line this season against the Colorado Rockies, if you've gotten better than -195, you've made a profit thus far this season. Like, that tells you everything right there. That said, with regards to if you're taking a look at the odds to be able to win the NLS, oh, I sure hope that they still have up there the Colorado Rockies perhaps be able to win this division, because they're not mathematically eliminated. We all know that they're eliminated. Oh, they're +$5. You'd be able to get 500-1 right now to bet the Colorado Rockies to be able to win the division. I'm more likely to be the Queen of England than they are to be able to win the division, so that's good fun. But right now, in terms of the Dodgers, they're -$9 to win this division. The Giants are sitting here at 15-1. Right now, they're 3.5 games out of the division. Unless if the Dodgers come back from down 5 runs here tonight, that's going to be 3 games. The San Francisco Giants team has the traits of a team that's going to linger all season long. And the reason why they have these traits is that their big offseason signing of Willy Adames has been a flopperoonie. Like, right now for Willy Adames, he's sitting like a 210. He's giving you 5 home runs. Like, as a Milwaukee Brewers fan, I totally saw this coming. I hate to say it, but Willy Adames is a hit-or-miss guy. He had a nice year last year with the Milwaukee Brewers. I just had trust issues with him. Like, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just me. And yes, this sounds like I'm going way deeper than talking about the game of baseball with regards to trust issues and things like that. But for Willy Adames, it always just felt like, man, I don't know if he's necessarily worth the money. It just feels like he's a little bit hit or miss. But I mean, you have to think at some point he hits better than like a 210 with 5 home runs through the first 60 or so games of the season. And then you got a Giants bullpen that is by far number one in the big leagues in terms of their ERA. You've got a lot of guys that have been able to do a nice job of being able to mix and match. Randy Rodriguez has been rock solid for this team. You've been able to get really good production out of Tyler Rogers. You've had Hayden Birdsong go from the bullpen to being a starter. He got the job done here on Sunday for this team. You've got Camilo Duval looking like the Camilo Duval of old. When you've got good bullpen pitching, you've got a shot. Just as the Detroit Tigers last year. Like the Detroit Tigers last year, they were a below average offense. They had Tariq Skubal, and they had a whole bunch of guys that were not really giving you a lot of innings in terms of their starts. Like, and they still were able to make the playoffs. When you've got bullpen pitching, you have hope in Major League Baseball. And that's a big reason why you take a look at the LA Angels, the Athletics, and they really don't have a lot of hope out there in the AL West. But for the LA Dodgers, who knows when these guys are going to be able to get healthy. Like, Blake Snell is dealing with injury. You've got Blake Treinen who's currently on the 60-day injured list. They've been without Bruce Sutter Gratterall all season long. Michael Kopech is right now on the injured list. Like, you can just go down the list of guys that are injured, and that's a big giant issue. And if we continue to get some of these starts that we have out of Yoshinobu Yamamoto, he's now giving up 3-plus runs in 3 out of his last 5 starts. That's a little bit of a concern for you as well, because Dustin May has been relatively solid for the team. He's going to be going out there on the mound on Monday, but it does cause you to have a little bit of question mark in general with regards to the Dodgers team. But one thing that you don't have to question, the betting splits that we've got here at VSiN, as we've got them from Circa and DraftKings, gives you the best of both worlds. As Circa, they take the biggest bets from the biggest professional bettors, so they are taking the bets that really do move these lines. And then over at DraftKings, they give you a nice broad market perspective on how a lot of the public is betting as well. You're able to get the best of both of these with our VSiN betting splits, and you're able to sign up for these betting splits for as low as $9.99 for your first month over at vsin.com/subscribe. That is vsin.com/subscribe, and you're able to get in on this tremendous offer with regards to seeing the percentage of the bets versus the percentage of the handle on every single game across all major sports as well. vsin.com/subscribe to dive in on those betting splits, as it is live bet Sunday right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And I do think that with the Giants, they're just, a team that has been able to find a way to be able to mix and match. And for the San Francisco Giants team in general, I absolutely love the fact that they brought in a veteran manager in the offseason as well. For the San Francisco Giants, just being able to have a steady hand out there, being able to have Bob Melvin, I think is just so big for the team, as well as Bob Melvin. I still remember the work that he was able to do with the Athletics back in the day. This guy just knows baseball in general. And I think that that's big for a 162-game season where you know that it's going to be a little bit of a grind. You know that you're just going to be going through these wars in general, and he just continues to year in and year out be able to get the most out of his teams. We saw it for very, very long with regards to that A's team and for the San Diego Padres last year. I mean, he was able to work wonders with that team as well. So I thought that that was a very, very good ad by them in the offseason, and I think that that's going to be able to pay dividends as well, because for the San Francisco Giants, prior to this year, their entire offense was based on platooning, like the righty versus lefty splits, and that was able to work out for a little bit of time, but things really caught up to them a little bit. Additionally, for the San Francisco Giants team, getting what you have out of Robbie Ray this year has been very big. They've had a few, shall we say, frugal and shrewd moves that paid off for them in droves. You've got some relatively good balance with regards to the lineup, and being able to get back Tyler Fitzgerald is something that I like as well. And again, I do think that with some of these guys like Patrick Bailey, Lamont Wade Jr., that have had their struggles towards being part of the season, that they're going to be able to pick it up as well. Now, I think that it's too early to be taking a look at specific schedules moving forward, because you've got north of 100 games. Everyone now plays everyone in Major League Baseball. When you get down to, like, August, September, that's when you start really taking a look at schedules and being like, all right, here's what we got in terms of X, Y, and Z. And I will say this for the San Francisco Giants, if you want the number that you've got right now, they're going to be playing against the San Diego Padres for a relatively big set this week, and then the Atlanta Braves, but then they go on the road against the Colorado Rockies. So if they're able to split this series against these two series against the Padres and the Atlanta Braves, and these are a pair of series, they're at home, by the way, so that helps you out. That's going to be big for them, and then they go on the road against the LA Dodgers. So perhaps that max buy point that you're going to get, that's going to be on June 16th. That's when their series wraps up against the LA Dodgers. I think that they do solid here against the Padres. Think that they do solid here against the Atlanta Braves. And at this point, if you don't sweep the Colorado Rockies, that has to be looked at as a failure. Like, again, the Colorado Rockies have been swept in 10 series this far this season, and they've got 9 wins. How is that even possible? They've been swept in more series than they have wins. So every single time you see that on a schedule, you just, if you're looking at the futures market right now, you actually do want to be doing this. You want to be adding up how many games the team that you're looking to bet on is going to be playing the Colorado Rockies. And that should tell you what their schedule is going to be moving forward, because those are automatic free space wins. And if they don't get those automatic free space wins, you probably just bet on the wrong team, because that's how bad the Colorado Rockies are right now. But absolutely, with the San Francisco Giants, do think that there's a little bit of value on them at 15-1, only being 3 games out when it's all said and done, most likely at the end of tonight in terms of division. I think that they've got some staying power, and I do think that they provide a little bit of promise. What else is very promising is what we're seeing on the WNBA front as well, as we're approaching halftime in this Lynx versus Valkyries game. Hopefully you took the over. Valkyries are currently up by a count of 52-49, looking to hand the Lynx their first loss of the season. We'll be keeping you guys abreast of that. And also, we've got ourselves the Yankees versus Dodgers on Sunday Night Baseball. Yankees currently up by a count of 6-1, and we'll get you guys all caught up on that on the flip side right here on Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson holding it down as we've right now got ourselves the 7th inning between the LA Dodgers and the New York Yankees. Yankees currently in full control of this by a count of 6-1. And I'm talking about the live under. I personally took the under on this game a little bit before. I was able to grab a 9. I know that a lot of places were offering an 8.5. So right now, sweating this one out. And we're back down to a 9.5 with regards to this live total, with the over at a minus 105. Scoring has really ticked down after Yoshinobu Yamamoto had a, well, not so great start. He went 3 2/3 innings. He allowed 4 runs in this one. So right now it's Noah Davis on to hold down the fort. And this is something that you want to be mindful of. You want to be watching these next few innings for the New York Yankees to see if they get up by 7+ runs. And the reason why I say that is because one of my favorite live betting angles when it comes to Major League Baseball, when you find a position player that pitches in a game, you immediately take the over and you immediately take the run line of the team that is currently in that big lead facing off against a position player, because the sportsbook's algorithms, they just cannot properly pitch these position players that are throwing at 35 miles per hour. I don't know what it is. Maybe they think that it's like the worst reliever that they have on the team, but the worst reliever still throws like 85, 90 plus miles per hour, gives you a halfway presentable pitch, and instead you've got, oh, look, here's your favorite shortstop that has never played at all this season, now having to throw 35 miles per hour, the meatballs over the middle of the plate. So that's always a lot of fun. And we did see a position player in the game that we had on Saturday between the LA Dodgers and the New York Yankees. Kike Hernandez actually threw a scoreless inning. So good job, Kike Hernandez. And I think that the Yankees threw out there a position player as well. Yeah, position player on position player crime in terms of the game on Saturday. I don't think they were going to get quite that on Sunday, but you want to be watching out just in case if the Dodgers get down a few more runs, because I know that they've been very strategic in the way that they actually do use their position players to be able to throw an inning or two. And you'd probably be seeing, if I were to guess as to the position player that you get for the LA Dodgers, if he does have to come in, we'll go Dalton Rushing, was able to hit a home run yesterday, young 24-year-old backup catcher. That would be a prime spot for a position player there. So that's something that I'm very much watching out for. 6-1, the Yankees in the lead again. You're going to need to get a 6+ run lead for a position player to be able to pitch in this game. So we're going to be keeping you guys informed there. But that said, we've got ourselves a lot that is happening on the baseball front. And we're actually going to be talking some college baseball in the next segment. Colin Wilson, he does great work over at Action Network, taking a look at all things college sports. I know that he's doing a great job looking at the road to Omaha. He's going to be joining me, and I have to talk with him about just how you gauge these just games in general out there in college baseball World Series, because I've just brought it up all day long. The fact that we just continue to see over after over after over in these games. Like right now, Utah Valley versus Cal Poly is a little bit of sweat. That's right now in the 11th inning. This Oklahoma versus North Carolina game, it looked like we were going to get an under. Might not be the case, as right now you've got a live total of 14.5 in this game. 7-5, Oklahoma's in the lead. Southern Miss is currently up on Miami by a count of 10-1. That game's in the bottom of the fifth inning. UTSA, meet me for the Roadrunners. They're up by a count of 7-1 on Texas. That live total's at 15.5. You've actually seen a little bit of a lower scoring game between Auburn and NC State. That's a live total that's hovering more around about 11.5, with Auburn currently in the lead 3-0, but Ole Miss versus Murray State, that game is doomed to be going over the total. 10-3 right now in the bottom of the third inning. And here's a big thing that you want to take a look at. Like, again, I'm not going to claim to be some sort of a college baseball handicapper that knows all these teams or everything like that, but I do know the dynamics of baseball. And right now with these teams, there are a lot of these teams that they're playing their elimination game earlier in the day, and then they have to play afterwards. And this is after they played a lot of games on Friday. They played a lot of games on Saturday. You're now in game number 3 of a gauntlet where some of these teams are playing as many as 4 or 5 games in these regionals. Try playing 5 games in 3 days, and you tell me how fresh your bullpen is. And these are not good bullpens to start with. Like, these are bullpens that are very suspect. You've got a guy who, I think the last time some of these guys threw a strike was in T-ball. Those are the guys that you're getting right now in terms of some of these bullpens. They're having to try to mix and match. They're having to throw out there some of these starters for a second start, and they can't go a full, like, 5+ innings. So you're getting a lot of suspect pitching, and it feels like the bookmakers, they just can't set these totals high enough. Like right now in Kentucky versus West Virginia, live total is currently up to 21.5. It's 11-7, so you've got 7-11. These two teams are both open to giving up a whole bunch of runs, and we've been seeing just a lot of this all throughout here in college baseball. So I do think that that's something to be mindful of, as it is Live Bet Sunday right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And everything here is powered by EdgeBoost. EdgeBoost is the first ever bank account that is built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. You have no usage fees, no minimums, earn cashback rewards, 100% approval on all sports betting deposits. Sign up now over at EdgeBoost.bet with the promo code of LIVE, L-I-V-E. That's going to give you a dollar-for-dollar match on your first deposit up to $25. That's EdgeBoost.bet, promo code of LIVE, as it is Live Bet Sunday right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops-Peterson holding it down tonight, and How about if we do take a look at a team that I was mentioning a little bit before in the San Francisco Giants, as Circa just hung an opener with regards to their game against the San Diego Padres. Now, this is one where the San Diego Padres are still officially listed as TBD. I was seeing in terms of CBS Sports, ESPN, Stephen Kolek as being the projected starter for them. So we're going to be double checking all throughout the night to make sure that we indeed do get Mr. Kolek, who's going to be getting the start here. But right now it's priced pretty much as if you would be getting Stephen Kolek. Right now with the Circa opener, you're finding that number at a money line price of a minus 174 with San Francisco, plus 156 on the board for the San Diego Padres. Total on this game is 7, very much shaded up to the over. Now, I did sell my total of 7.4, but I'm not jonesing to lay a minus 125 on the over, so I do think that we should be getting some different numbers out there. And personally, I would rather take like a 7.5 under rather than a 7 over, because something that I always do with regards to Major League Baseball, you always have to be taking a look at these home and road splits. And Logan Webb is one of my favorite guys to take a look at in terms of home and road splits, as for Mr. Logan Webb, he's been able to do such a tremendous job when he has been at home. At home, he gives up for his career about 0.4 home runs per 9 innings. His ERA is a 2.68 at home. On the road, north of 4, his home runs per 9 rate doubles. So it is very paramount there. Now, part of that is because San Diego is one of the best pitcher-friendly ballparks that you're going to find in all of baseball, but there's just a little bit of a comfort level. There's just a little bit of, shall we say, a dynamic in general with regards to this. So I do think that it is big, and we actually get this for it looks like confirmation of Stephen Kolek starting out. Kevin Acey, who does a great job covering all things out there in San Diego with regards to the Padres, he tweeted that one out. So we do indeed have Stephen Kolek in this one. And for Kolek, he's been able to do a relatively solid job for this team, and it is a big reason why I'd be rather taking a look at a 7.5 under rather than a 7 over, because for Kolek, he actually a little bit earlier on during the season had a complete game. Now, that was, if you remember it, the 21-0 game that we saw with the San Diego Padres completely shutting down the Colorado Rockies. So they just decided, Stephen Kolek, you're cruising. We'll let things go on ever since that. He's actually given up 3+ runs in each of his previous 3 starts, but overall, 4.11 ERA, the fielding independent, more on a 3.87. He's giving up less than a home run per 9 innings, so he's been able to do a nice job keeping the fort held down there. And for the San Diego Padres, you do have a bullpen that's currently in the top 7 with regards to their ERA. You did have to utilize quite a few pieces, with Randy Vasquez not necessarily giving you a start that you were hoping for, but Adrian Morejon has been able to give you a sub-3.5 ERA. You've had Jeremiah Estrada along with Robert Suarez, who they did have to utilize these guys on Sunday, being able to spot you with a sub-3 ERA as well. Jason Adam has been very good in that bullpen, but again, with the San Francisco Giants, mentioned this a little bit earlier in the hour when I was talking about the fact that I do think that there's a little bit of value for them to be able to win the NL West at 15-1. Again, this is not something that you want to put all of your shekels in the middle with, but for the San Francisco Giants, number one team in terms of bullpen ERA, you've got a lot of guys that are mixing and matching, and we will rudely intrude this, mention the fact that for the New York Yankees, they just allowed a home run to Andy Páez, his 11th home run of the campaign. And for the LA Dodgers, all of a sudden they're getting back into this game. The Dodgers are now down by a count of 6-2, as Páez, for him, that was a solo shot. As for the New York Yankees, they sent Jonathan Loaisiga in this game. I told you guys Ryan Yarbrough was going to give you a good start. He went 6 innings, allowed 1 run. Then for Jonathan Loaisiga, or if you want to call him Johnny Lasagna, I guess you can do that as well, but he gives up a solo shot to Páez for Páez's home run number 11 of the campaign. And for the Dodgers right now, they've got 2 runs on the board, both have been via solo home runs. And if you're taking a look at your live total in this game, it was at a 9.5 a little bit earlier. Now with that solo shot, you're still at a 9.5, but the juice is out minus 154 with regards to the over. So do want to be mindful there, but Yankees still in relatively good control of this game. But anyway, getting back to what we were talking about a little bit before with the San Diego Padres and their bullpen, very much a rock solid one. And for the Giants, they've been able to do a nice job of mixing and matching with the Garcia lineup. You've got a trio of guys, Matt Chapman, Eloy Ramos, and also Wilmer Flores, who've been able to give you 10 home runs thus far this season. They're doing a good job over the line. And for the Padres, you've had Gavin Sheets be able to supply a double figure round of homers, Fernando Tatis Jr. as well. But outside those two guys, the power numbers have not not necessarily been there. Manny Machado still stuck on 6 home runs this far this season, so I would rather be taking that 7.5 under rather than a 7 over. But for the Giants, if you're able to find a plus money run line in this one, which you should be able to do so right now at circa, finding a plus 124, going to be willing to dive in there. What we want to dive in on next is a little bit of college baseball with Colin Wilson, who does great work over at Action Network. He joins me next on Live Bet Sunday on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Live Bet Sunday on VSEN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Live Bet Sunday on VSEN, the Sports Betting Network. Great to be joined by this man on the Progressive Guest Line as we've got Colin Wilson aboard. He does such a great job over at Action Network, taking a look at all things college sports, and he's been doing a tremendous job on the college baseball front. And Colin, it's great to get you aboard. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. I graduated from Arkansas. We just hit a home run, so I might be a little excited here on this interview. At the same time, we've got 3 more games to bet tonight, so it's been a great weekend of college baseball.
Absolutely, and before we dive in on those games for this Sunday that I know that you've been handicapping, how hard is it to be able to just be able to gauge these college baseball games when it comes to these regional, when it comes to regional sites? Because I know that with regards to being able to gauge these games, you have to do so on the fly, because the team that wins the elimination game, they then play a little bit later on during the night, so you don't have lines available until that game goes final, and typically you only have like 90 or so minutes to be able to bet these games.
Yeah, well, Greg and I, you and I, we both do our own work in our spreadsheets. And the deal is with college baseball, not only is it tough enough to find out, get all the stats, all the analytics, you need ERAs and xFIPs and all this good stuff, but you don't know the starting pitchers until the manager walks to the home plate and turns the card in and it actually gets into stat broadcast. So that makes it even tougher because the starting pitcher has such a huge impact. And, you know, tonight, thankfully, we have 3 more games coming up, and I know who the pitchers are going to be, so we have lines. But that's just the grind of college baseball, especially during regionals. And then the added problem is the bullpens. And I want to like point out North Dakota State and Creighton playing earlier today, a combined score of 22 runs. They completely depleted their bullpens. I expected Creighton to come into this game shorthanded against Arkansas. They're probably going to be having a position player throw here by the end of the night. And that leads to overs. And you need to know your bullpen counts, because that leads to overs when they start throwing position players.
Yep, and I was pointing this out all throughout the broadcast. We are seeing a whole bunch of overs, and is that just actually a relatively solid approach to be taking, just default to the over until further notice with these games that we're going to be seeing on Sunday into Monday? Because you just mentioned it, we've got position players throwing, and these bullpens are about as burnt as toast.
Yes, they are, and I think this is really where everybody gets confused with college baseball, because regional weekends, especially Sundays, the overs come in really hard. It's just been so profitable to bet overs and regional weekends on Sundays. You get to the Supers, and it's a best 2 out of 3 format. That's where everybody starts to get confused, because it's a different format. But next weekend is best 2 out of 3, and then maybe game 2 and game 3, you could get maybe a couple of overs. And then when you get to Omaha, the betting public has been so drilled on overs for 2 consecutive weekends. When you get to Omaha and you play in Charles Schwab, it is one of the, from a park factors perspective, it's like 0.88. It is a pitcher's paradise, because the field dimensions are basically good enough for the Royals and the White Sox and for them to have games there and count on their major league record, because the ballpark is major league size and it's got very cavernous left and right center. So get ready for overs this weekend, get ready for overs next weekend, and then get ready for the unders when we get to Omaha.
Very well said. That's always something I've taken a look at with regards to the road to Omaha, because the scoring very much goes downward when you get to the Omaha 8, as we do have Colin Wilson, who does such great work over at Action Network, joining me on Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And just saw this opener pop up on DraftKings. You've got UCLA versus UC Irvine, total of 14, with UCLA opening up a minus 175 favorite. How do you decipher this one with a UC Irvine team that I feel like has been one of the more intriguing West Coast baseball teams all throughout the season?
Well, for those of you that have not heard about UC Irvine, they were projected to be a number one regional seed the entire season, and they flirted with being a top 8 super regional seed. Had a trouble with the series down the stretch, probably didn't get enough love. Their RPI is high enough. They didn't get enough love to get that number one seed, but they fall into a UCLA team that absolutely stumbled down the stretch and, in my opinion, shouldn't have been a number one seed at all. I got Finnegan Wall throwing for the Anteaters against Ian May. I actually make UC Irvine a favorite of about minus 140. total of 15.82. I think if you go and look at the wind map there at Jackie Robinson Stadium, you could get some help with that. So I would definitely like the over. I'm leaning towards UC Irvine in that game. But again, that game just got announced. I got to go look at some XFIP. I got to go look at some other stuff before I lay that, but that's where I lean.
Absolutely. And like I've been saying, these overs have just been coming through all day long. And this is actually a relatively low total considering the circumstances. Oregon State, they put up a 9 spot in an inning against St. Mary's. They put up 20 runs in total. They're going to be facing off against USC. Oregon State, who just got done playing, they're about a minus 166 favorite. The total is currently at a 13. How do you decipher this one after Oregon State? They put up a big number against St. Mary's, to say the least.
They did. I make it 12.3. I don't think it's that far off. It really has to be more than a half run and a full run for me to actually pay attention to it. And you know, my totals are completely based upon calculated base runs, team staff ERA, FIP, and XFIP. So it's pretty accurate. So I make this one pretty close. Caden Hunter is going to go for Southern California here. Oregon State is going to have to throw Nelson Keljo. Now, Nelson Keljo, if you want to look at an angle for an over here, and I'm going to stay away because my projection is close, but Nelson Keljo has already thrown 60 pitches. And sometimes what they'll do is even though he came out of the pen and he gave a whole bunch of help already this weekend, they're going to start him here, and they're probably going to try to get 60 to 80 pitches. This is not Major League Baseball where the pitch count hits 100 and they pull them. These managers in the NCAA could let these guys roll. I mean, Paul Skeens was throwing 130, 140 a couple of years ago. So I think that's what you have to keep in mind. So Nelson Keljo is going to go here. I make Oregon State minus 160. The offense is rolling right now. I'm going to back the Beavers here.
Absolutely. With Oregon State, one of the most dominant teams out there on the West Coast in baseball for a very, very long time. And this one is going to be the tightest of the lines that we're going to be seeing a little bit later on tonight. Cal Poly versus Arizona. This is the low total out there with a 12.5. Arizona minus 140 favorite. Is this one where we can back the favorite of Arizona, or can Cal Poly, a team that I know has been very rock solid in terms of their college baseball over the last few seasons, be able to pull the upset?
Yeah, Cal Poly was supposed to be in this tournament the entire time, fell down to be a bubble team right before the regionals were announced. It was really kind of down to Texas A&M or Cal Poly. They are now paying off and getting in there. And right now they're going to take on an Arizona team that's really just kind of been sitting around waiting for this game. And Cal Poly is coming off of a monster extra innings game. Do they have enough gas in the tank? And do they have enough in the bullpen after they went through this long game with Utah Valley? I got Colin McKinney for Arizona going. I got Griffin Neas going for Cal Poly, who's already thrown this weekend. I make it right down the middle, minus 110 both ways. Crazy enough, the pitching analytics, the calculated base runs, and the park factors for PK Park there, I've got 9.7 on the total. So I am hesitant to ever play unders, especially on Sundays. I might lay off of that one there, but I will say the wind is blowing a little bit out. So play it at your own risk if you think you want to take an over there. But be bold and take if you want to take an under.
Yep, we have not been seeing a lot of those be able to come through, but I like that angle there. And what else I think is very interesting is some of these teams that might have a little bit of value with regards to futures, because we saw a stunning upset here on Sunday. Vanderbilt, they lose to Wright State, and Wright State had been close. I forget if it was against Louisville or another team, but I know that they were very competitive. Tennessee, yes. I knew that they were very competitive, and they very nearly got the job done the first time around. They get it done against Vanderbilt, one of the top teams in all of baseball. They go down, and how does that affect the way that you're taking a look at perhaps the road to Omaha and some of the teams that you're taking a look at from a futures perspective?
Let's say that you don't know anything about what's going on in Omaha. Well, what's going on is every team is already slotted to fall in a certain bracket in Omaha. They don't reshuffle seeds. They don't move you around the bracket. You are already set. So what you need to know and take away from this is that the first side of the bracket, which is going to be bracket one, is an absolute dumpster fire right now. Vandy out, right? Southern Miss playing on the edge here. Florida State makes it. Oregon State may still get knocked out. North Carolina is going to go up against the winner of the Oregon Regional. Well, guess what? It's not going to be Oregon. It's going to be Cal Poly or Arizona. Underneath that, you got Coastal and maybe Auburn. So if you look at the projected path for North Carolina, which, you know, they might have to play tomorrow, but if North Carolina makes it through, they're going to end up playing Cal Poly or Arizona to make it in the Supers to make it to Omaha. And then their first game in Omaha is going to be against Coastal or Auburn. They're going to avoid teams named LSU. They're going to avoid Arkansas. They're going to avoid whoever wins this Texas. Probably might be UTSA here in a little bit. You know, they're going to avoid maybe a Tennessee or a Wake Forest. They're going to avoid all the big boys. I think North Carolina's path is more advantageous than anybody, but we'll see if they have to play tomorrow.
Yep, absolutely. And I think that that's very well laid out by you. And we have about a minute left. Is there any team that might not be one of those top like SEC teams that might not be one of these big time one seeds that might be able to lend a little bit of value either on Monday / moving forward in terms of the super regionals?
Yeah, I mean, I think you don't want to deny if a four seed makes it through. We saw Evansville get through last year. I think I tweeted out earlier that there's only been three number four seeds that have made it to Omaha, period. But that doesn't mean you want to discount them. They are still run line darlings out there. I know Wright State is playing absolutely out of their mind. And we mentioned that home, you know, they had Tennessee dead to rights. And that Tennessee team was absolutely a superpower team. Wright State believes in themselves. I do not want to fade them whatsoever. They would line up with the winner of the Southern Miss Regional. It could be Miami, could be Southern Miss, who could easily be beat. I wouldn't count Wright State out. When the futures come out, and they have these 16 teams for the Supers coming maybe tomorrow night at some point, don't count out a long shot on Wright State. And I'm not saying that Wright State's going to win at all. Here's how you play college baseball portfolios. You take the 300-1, and you find room to hedge it when you get a couple games away from the championship. And that's exactly how Wright State needs to be played.
Absolutely. I love it. And we'll talk some more baseball next on Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.